All we're going to do is
radio.
For y'all ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He is our lawgiver and our only savior, and not just savior of Israel, but savior of the world. And I thank the Most High Yah for allowing us to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words. This week we've been dealing with the great wonders of Yah, his miracles. No, not somebody walking on water, even though our people walk across the Red Sea on dry land. Why would you walk on water when you can walk on dry land, right across the ocean? No. No miracle about turning water into wine. For what? Water is way more valuable than wine. No, not these types of wonders and miracles, but the miracles and the wonders that the Creator have done in the heaven, the earth, the sea. Are things that all one can do is marvel at. As I was letting everyone know, I was watching a program on the History Channel, and they were marveled at the earth and how it would look outer space. And they interviewed various different astronauts who went out of space, and they looking at this earth, this big round globe. Now, and of course, some people would say that's a hoax. The earth is not round, it's flat. That's a gimmick. Well, let's see if this is a gimmick. In the book of Isaiah, I think you're going to find this in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah 40. And look what it says. 21st verse. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? And have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? What should we understand? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Yahweh Ben let us know that the earth was a circle. So you don't have to be no rocket scientist to know this. All you have to do is have understanding of the scriptures. And not only the earth is a circle, the sun is a circle, the moon is a circle, even the heavens itself is a circle. Watch what it says in the book of Psalm 19. This History Channel program that I'm speaking of, it was hosted, narrated by, man, y'all know real good, and his name is Will Smith. I didn't get to see it all because they lost me when they said, how did life begin? What is responsible for life that we know of today? And they came up with all kind of theories and no facts. And there's only one fact, and that's the Creator himself. They don't mind giving a accolades to all the various so-called brilliant minds of men who didn't create their own mind. But yet, when it comes to the Creator, he gets no love. And watch what it says about the heaven itself. Starting at Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of Elohim. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them have he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit. What is a circuit? A circuit is something that goes around and around and around. It just loops. That's what a circuit does, loops. All your electricity does is in a circuit. It loops. And it goes around and around and around. But so do the heavens. And this circuit, unto the ends of it, and there is nothing here from the heat thereof. This is how Yah made everything. You read this in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I just wanted to make that point. In the book of Job, it lets you know that the earth is suspended on nothing, hangs on nothing. It's just sitting in the air. In other words, there's nothing that's holding it up. There's no strings. There's no magic at all. Well, what do this have to do with what we're talking about today? Because the very wonders and the very thing that they are in awe about, that's what we're speaking about. Yahweh miracles, Yahweh wonders. Yes, it is a wonder to behold the earth. You should be in awe of the things that Yahweh had done. So why don't you give Yahweh the credit for doing the very thing that you went all about? And this is what the heathens don't want to do. And then as far as our people, they don't even speak about the great wonders, miracles of the Most High. nor do they identify when Yahweh even did these great miracles and wonders. And Yahweh will put dates and times that are called months and years and days and seasons and signs so that you can know his great wonders. Of course, you're not going to know them all because there's too many to even fathom. There are miracles we'll never talk about because we don't even know. Our mind can't even conceive all the various things that Yahweh have done in earth or in heaven or in the sea. But the various things he has let us know, he attached dates and times to. But not only dates and times, he even put his servants in the earth as miracles, as wonders, as we've been bringing to you. Which brings me to another thing. They got this movie coming out called The Avengers. And what are they avenging to do? They're supposed to be superheroes that's supposed to be saving the earth. Why say the earth? Where's some other planets that need saving? You know, they always trying to save earth. What about these other planets that get destroyed? Why don't they save that? Why earth? In other words, some of these superheroes belong other places. And then they come here and want to save the earth. I don't get it. And then, out of all the nations on the earth, and I mean, I don't even know how many nations on earth. It's so many. Then they're going to have one captain. And the captain is Captain America. Now, out of all the captains on the earth, you got Batman, Superman, you got everybody. And here, Captain America. What kind of sense does this make? See how Babylon is? That's how we know the scriptures, the Bible, the Old Testament is the truth. Because if the heathen had anything to do with this, he will be the main player. He will be at the top. He will come out on top. The heathen actually come out on the bottom. He come out cursed. And Yahweh will put various laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments that will condemn him every single day. That's how we know he's not the main player of this. Because if he was the main player, trust me, Captain America will be right here in the book. But in all these other books, all these other phony and fake and counterfeit books, they are the main player. That's why when you read the New Testament, you're not going to read nothing about the Most High. You'll read that the Most High made none perfect, so he had to have a son to bring perfection in. What kind of superhero is that? The daddy can't do nothing, but the son gonna bring it. That story makes no kind of sense. And this other story don't make sense. But I'm gonna show you some stories that you won't think make sense. They're the only real stories that you're going to read about as we discuss the great wonders and miracles of the Most High. So let's get to it, because we ain't going to keep you all day and night long, but I just want to exalt the Most High. But just show you a few scriptures, because here it is. You got a bunch of fictitious characters. Like, what's one of them? Black Panther. Everybody loved the Black Panther, but Black Panther trying to save America. I don't know what he's doing for Africa. Africa is in shambles right now. If you want to save the world, there's only one way to save the world. And let me show you who is the savior of the world. First, in the book of Isaiah 49. And this is what it says at the first verse. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. Y'all have called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother have ye made mention of my name. And he have made my mouth like a sharp's sword. And the shadow of his hand have he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver have he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yah, and my work with my Elohim. And now says Yah, that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Yaakov to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yah, and my Elohim shall be my strength. Now watch this. And he said, it is a light thing. Thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov and to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. The salvation of the world is Israel, not the Avengers. We're the salvation. This fake store they got y'all buying tickets to, making billions and billions of dollars, have nothing on the true story that you're going to see in a short period of time, sooner than you think. Watch what it says. Thus says Yah, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despised, to him the nation abhor, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of Yah that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus says Yah, in acceptable time have I heard thee, the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Yes, this is what Yahweh will do. We the salvation of the earth. And let me tell you, once Yahweh light rise upon his people, you're going to see great miracles that would be done from the hands of his people. I showed this yesterday so you can see it, so you can understand it, and I'm going to show it to you again. In the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, watch what it says. Isaiah 9, watch what it says in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the very first thing it lets you know about this child, it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Well, what do that mean? What is wonderful? Well, that's the same as a miracle. A miracle child. A wonderful child. A child of wonder. Why? Because Yahweh will do wonders with this person, with this individual. And if you're not familiar with the wonders of Yahweh, you're going to miss it. And I'm going to show you how you will miss it. Watch what it says. In the book of Isaiah 11. The first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yah shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yah, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. This is the miracles that's going to happen in the future. You're going to see with your own eyes sooner rather than later. It says in the 10th verse, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles see. His wrath shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yah shall set his saying again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, Pathros, from Cush, from Elon, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. This is a miracle. This is a miracle that you're going to see. This is a miracle that's going to happen. This is a miracle you only read stories about. But soon you will see. For Yahweh is not the son of man that he shall lie. So, what other things can help you to understand, to help you to be able to see what really is a miracle? We went over various miracles of the first month, the second month, the third month, also in various years, like the fourth year, the first year. We showed you various days, the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, the 17th. The second day of the month. And here it is. Show you. Yahweh got, he got all kind of miracles, man. Watch this. In the book of Second Samuel.
I want you to see this.
In the book of Second Samuel, the 23rd chapter, the 8th verse, it says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had." Now, you know of David had mighty men. Who do you think David himself was? David was the chief of the mighty men. He was the king of the mighty men. The word mighty means powerful. These men was powerful. They were chief. They did exploits that all one can do is marvel at. So you can only imagine what David would do and what David did. See, they reduced David down to just some mighty man of war. Like all he was some warrior. How many warriors do you know can kill a lion with their bare hands? Any warrior can kill him with a gun and a rifle and a machine gun and a bazooka. But the men we're talking about, these men did things with their own hands, like David. When David went up against Goliath, all he had was a slingshot and 5 stones and cut his neck off, cut his head off. This is power. Second Samuel 23. A verse. These be the names of the powerful men whom David had. The Tachmonite, or Tachmonite, that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Aznite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. All he had was one spear. And he killed 800 men at one time. And you read it correctly. At one time. Now imagine that. You got one spear, and that spear kills 800 men at one time. Now, I haven't seen them kill robots at one time, but I ain't never seen them kill 800 men at one time. Well, this is what Adino did. The 9th verse, and after him was Eleazar, the son of the Ohohite, one of the 3 mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And Yahweh wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. In other words, here this man, by himself, he killed so many. His hand and his sword became one. Just like the Almighty tell a man and a woman become one. Just like the Almighty said, walk. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? Yahweh, all through the scriptures, say Shema Yisrael, Yah Eloheinu, Yah Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yah Eloheinu, Yahweh is one, because Yahweh desires you to be one with him. Well, this man's hand became one with a sword to the extent that it clave to his hand. And this is really how two become one. 11th verse. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and Yahweh wrought a great victory. And little do people know, people don't even understand what these things are saying. Here it is, the first powerful man, the first mighty man, you notice he killed 800 with one spear at one time, because he represented the chiefest. He represented one. 800 with a single blow. The second one, it is his hand and his sword became one. Two became one. He also had a great victory. And these are miracles. Of the mass majority of the people who are trying to kill somebody with a sword or anything in their hand, I don't care if it's a gun, a bazooka, a machine gun, a cannon, at some point in time, your hand going to get tired, and you're not even going to be able to hold the weapon. I don't care if it's a stick. If you hold it up in the air and you're swinging a stick, at some point in time, you're not going to be able to swing it no more. Well, not so with him. The sword clave to his hand. And what did the third miracle? What was the third miracle? Just like the Almighty made the earth on the third day and brought forth from the earth all the various fruit trees and herbs and grass. Well, here it is. On the third powerful man, David's mighty man, here it is, protecting a field full of lentils by itself against the mighty Philistines. So not only these men were mighty, they had order to them. Show you, they were so mighty. Look what David would do with these men in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, the 27th chapter. That's why I said time and purpose mean everything. Watch what it says. Now the children of Israel, after their number, to wit, the chief fathers and the captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers that served the king in any matter of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, of every course were 24,000. Over the first course, for the first month, was Yashabeam, the son of Zabdiel. And in his course were 24,000 of the children of Perez, Phares was the chief of all the captains of the host for the first month. He was the chief. He was the captain of everything. And David didn't put nobody over no months unless they were one of his chief men, unless they had done great, unbelievable exploits. In other words, they had to show the great powers that Yahweh would rock with them. These powers didn't come from David. They came from the Most High. And when you read these guys, I want you to study these guys. Watch this of the second month. And you write these names down and you study them. And over the course of the second month was Dadiah and Hohai. And of the course was Miklah, also the ruler in his course. Likewise was 24,000. The third captain of the host for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, chief priest. And his course was 24,000. This is that Benaiah who was mighty among the 30 and above the 30. And in his course was Amizabah, his son. The fourth captain for the fourth month was Asael, the brother of Joab, and Zebadiah, his son after him, and his course were 24,000. The fifth captain for the fifth month was Shahu, the Israelite, and in his course were 24,000. The sixth captain for the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, and in his course was 24,000. The seventh captain for the seventh month was Helez, the Pelonite, of the children of Ephraim, and in his course were 24,000. Then you got to find out, because sometimes they don't even tell you their exploits. It just tells you what their name means. And they were over these months for a reason. The eighth captain for the eighth month was Sabekai, Hushatai, the Zarhites, and his course was 24,000. The ninth captain, the ninth month was Abiziar, Anatotite of the Benjamites, and his course were 24,000. The tenth captain for the tenth month was Mahara, the Nephilite, of the Zarhites, and in his course was 24,000. The 11th captain for the 11th month was Benaiah, the Piratite, Thanite, of the children of Ephraim, and his course was 24,000. And the 12th captain for the 12th month was Heldai, the Nephilite, of Othniel, and his course were 24,000. Furthermore, over the tribes of Israel, the ruler of the Reubenites, Eleazar, the son of Zikri, of the Simeonites, Shephatiah, of the Maacah, of the Levites, Hashabiah, the son of Kemuel, the Aaronites, Zadok. And it will tell you all the various leaders that David has set up. And let me show you another scriptures of these men. But let me just read some of their exploits a little bit more, so you can see some real superheroes, because Israel is the salvation of the world. Again, in 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, 13 verse. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. The troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim, and David was then in a hope. The garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one will give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And you know how you're thinking outside, man, I wish I had some good fresh, good water from the great springs of so-and-so. Of course, our people, they say, well, man, I wish I had me some good chicken from Bojangles. Man, nobody want no Bojangles. But that's what our people would say. But David wants some good, fresh water. It says, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, took it, brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto Yahweh. And he said, be it far from me, O Yah, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. In other words, they broke through the garrisons, the line of the Philistines, broke through just to get some water. These were mighty men. These were powerful men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among the three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. An Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, just a staff, and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. And Asahel, when they describe the man of Asahel, let me show you how they describe this man. I think you're going to read it in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. Let's see. One second, I want to show you this one scripture. Just show you the great power that was possessed by the mighty men of David. One second. get this one scripture. Now, this was one of David's 30 mighty men. Now, he had 37, but the 30 is what the scriptures speak of. And I want you to see why this is so very important. And why is one of your great wonders? It's in the second chapter.
That was there,
and I don't know why I didn't see it. We're in 2 Samuel, the second chapter. And this is what it says in the 12th verse. This is, again, one of David's mighty men. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And listen closely now. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David, and they on either, both sides. And watch what happens. And they caught every one his fellow by his head, by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day. And Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. Because this one, David, was taken over after the death of Saul. And the other tribes would not bow to David. And this is what's playing out. 18th verse. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai, and Asael. And Asael was, look how they describe this man. And Asael was as light of foot as a wild roe. This is how they describe him. Now, why would they describe him as light of foot as a wild roe? Well, if you hold your, and we're going to turn back here, but if you hold your page here, I can understand why they did it. Because in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 27th chapter, look what month Asahel is over. In 1 Chronicles, the 27th chapter, if you read about the fourth captain in the 7th verse, look what it says. The fourth captain for the fourth month was Asahel, the brother of Joab, and Zebadiah, which was the son after him. And his course was 24,000. Why would they have him? Well, it told you he was light of as a foot. Anytime you real fast, they always characterize you as some type of speed of light. And this is how this man was. They said he was light as a foot. And going back to 2 Samuel, the second chapter, as a wild roe. And what is a wild roe? Well, if you don't know what a wild roe is, you're going to know what a wild roe is in the near the future. Because watch what the scriptures say about this wild roe. First place I want you to go, we're going to go back to 2 Samuel, but I want you to go to Isaiah, the 13th chapter, so you can understand there's a lot of people going to wish they was a wild roe. And watch what it says. In the book of Isaiah 13, the 11th verse, it says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of Yah's host, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chased roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. And everyone that is found shall be thrust through." In other words, if you don't move fast enough, if you don't get up out of here at the time of Yahweh's anger, you're going to wish you was Asael. "And everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye shall not spare children." This is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to see. Going back to the 2 Samuel, the second chapter. Nineteenth verse, "And Asael pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, Art thou Asael? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, Turn thee aside to the right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asael would not turn aside from following him. And Abner knew he couldn't get away, so he had one thing left to do. And Abner said again to Asael, Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him. And he fell down there, and he died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asael fell down and died stood still. And Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lie before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And this Isaiah was a great man. He was a man of war. He was one of the 30 mighty men, powerful men of David. It says, and the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner. Now, mind you, the children of Benjamin, they was against David. But because David and them had wrought so much, they was just so mighty that the children of Benjamin became servants of David and became one troop and stood on the top of the hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren? And Joab said, as Elohim liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. In other words, the 12 tribes of Israel that we know today was once about to be extinct, because those that followed David and the children of Benjamin was about to kill everybody. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, passed over Jordan, went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner. And when he gathered all the people together, their lack of David's servants, 19 men, and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died. In other words, out of this whole war, out of this whole thing, David lost 19 men. But Abner's men and the children of Benjamin, 300 died. In other words, 360 That's every man a day for a whole year. That's how many men that were killed. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day. So I just wanted you to see how powerful these guys are, who Yahweh will raise up and do great exploits with these guys. These are real wonders. Study 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. Study the mighty men of David. Going back to 2 Samuel 23, the 23rd verse, it says, he was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. And Asahel, the brother Joab, was one of the 30. And then it began to name all the mighty men of David. And then it get to the end, the 39th verse. One of those mighty men was Uriah the Hittite. And it says 37 in all. In other words, he had 37 mighty men. 37. If y'all learned anything that we've been teaching, 37 is the order of what? What is 37? And 40 is the order of 5. 39 is the order of 4. 38, the order of 3. 37 must be the order of 2. And what do 2 represent? 2 represents heaven. It represents the name of Yahweh. No wonder these 37 mighty men, powerful men, have strength only that can come from heaven. Things that no man can do on the earth other than those who represent the Most High himself. Now, I told you, if these 37 were so mighty, what you think David was? Well, let me show you what this David will be in the future. Once Yahweh opened up your eyes so you can see who he is. Watch what it says in the book of Zechariah. In the book of Zechariah, this is what it says in the 6th verse, the 12th chapter, Zechariah 12 and 6. It says, in that day will I make governors of Yehuda like an earth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again on her own place, even in Jerusalem. Yahweh also shall save the tents of Yehuda first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Yehuda. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. In other words, the weakest people in that time, in that day, shall be like David. And we know what David was. David was the mightiest of the mighty men. And the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yahweh before them. In other words, David's house is going to be like angels. Is that a wonder? Is that a miracle? And why did David put all his mighty men over the months? Why would he do such a thing? Because every time there's a purpose. And because these mighty men, powers came from the Most High, they had to represent the very works and power that Yahweh did in earth. This is what they will represent. And they did represent this. Why do you think it was 37 mighty men? But David himself and his house will be as Elohim, the angel of Yah before them. And what is the strength? What is the power of an angel? Well, if you read about the angels in the scriptures say that angels were made a little bit above man. The angels was able to do things men couldn't even think about doing. even in their best of situations, best of powers. But in the future, this is the type of power that Yahweh will give them. And why? Because there's only one power, there is one wonder, and that's Yahweh himself. And Yahweh give us the ability to represent him as his wonders. And Yahweh has prophesied that he will work wonders in the earth through his people. Just a couple scriptures, and that's it. One is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the 61st chapter. Watch what it says. Love is one of my favorite scriptures. The first verse, the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. How can you do that? How can you make these people feel better? How can you bind up the broken heart? Well, you bind up the broken hearted by letting the broken hearted know that he's going to have liberty, that he's going to be saved, that he will be redeemed. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, because the ones that's going to be mourning are the ones that's locked up and those who are meek in heart, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of Yah, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolation. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock. Sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but ye shall be named the priests of Yah. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. Ye shall eat the riches of the nations, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. See, this is what Yahweh have thought to do to you. And how will it be done? A miracle, a wonder must take place. It must happen. How else can this happen? Last scripture in the book of Isaiah 52. This is why the Creator says this, Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Lose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus is Yah,
ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus says Elohim, my people went down aforetime in Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says Yah, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, says Yah, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that do speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that said unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye way places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh have comforted his people. He have redeemed Jerusalem. Yah have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim. Depart ye. Depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yah. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For Yahweh will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. And who is the servant? He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage, was so marked more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. And this is the part I want you to get. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. And they had not been told, and they had not seen Yahweh's true wonders, miracles that he was wrought in the earth. And one of his greatest miracles, wonders, is his people. And you're going to see the true avengers sooner rather than later. And until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Trusting you, he always kept me whole, and left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed, but shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation, I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Lead me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.